Welcome to this special emergency edition. Today, we are doing a full deep dive into the cold card entropy catastrophe, roughly 600 Bitcoin, about $38 million, swept from hundreds of wallets in a 15-minute window on July 30th, 2026. We will cover what was stolen, the exact technical root cause down to the lines of code, which devices are affected, the bizarre 5-year backstory of how a license dispute led to the bug, what you must do right now if you have ever used a cold card, and what this means for hardware wallet security going forward. This is the most significant hardware wallet failure in Bitcoin history, so we are going to take it slowly and carefully. Part 1, the theft. On the morning of July 30th, 2026, on-chain analyst Rob Hamilton noticed something alarming. In his words, 1,324 separate UTXOs were swept across 500 transactions, all within a 3-block window, totaling 594.48 Bitcoin. From there, 562 Bitcoin was swept again to a new address. The entire operation took about 15 minutes. The value at the time, roughly $38 million. The pattern was immediately suspicious. These were not exchange movements or consolidations. These were dormant wallets, many of them native SegWit addresses funded years earlier, suddenly emptied in a coordinated burst. Analyst Crypto summarized the community's preliminary conclusion. It looks like a coordinated theft caused by weak or flawed randomness when the wallets were created. Someone, somewhere, had figured out how to regenerate other people's seeds offline without ever touching their devices, and they had done it at scale. Within hours, Block's Bitcoin engineering and security teams began investigating. Max Guise of Block posted that they started looking into reports of non-BitKey wallets being drained and moved immediately to protect their own customers. Block has no connection to ColdCard, but they have world-class Bitcoin security engineers, and they teamed up with anonymous independent researchers to root cause the vulnerability. What they found and published on July 30th on the Block Engineering blog is one of the most meticulously documented vulnerability reports in the history of Bitcoin. The title, Predictable RNG Fallback and 32-Bit Reseed in ColdCard Firmware. We are going to walk through it in full. Meanwhile, CohenKite, the maker of ColdCard, published its own preliminary advisory, and Stefan Lavera, one of the most trusted voices in Bitcoin, posted a warning directly to ColdCard users with a video explainer and a practical mitigation step. When Stefan Lavera tells you to check your cold storage, you check your cold storage. Part 2, the root cause explained for humans. Every Bitcoin wallet starts with randomness. Your seed phrase is just a very large random number, typically 256 bits of entropy, converted into 12 or 24 words. Everything, the entire security of your funds, rests on that number being unpredictable. If an attacker can guess or reproduce your seed, they own your coins. No amount of air gapping, no secure element, no PIN, no duress wallet can save you. The seed is the crown jewels. A hardware wallet's most sacred duty is generating that randomness properly. The cold card devices have genuine hardware for this. The STM32 microcontroller includes a hardware true random number generator, and the newer devices also have secure elements with their own random sources. Used correctly, these produce cryptographically strong entropy. The tragedy of this bug is that the genuine hardware RNG was there, working, the whole time. The firmware simply wasn't using it. Here is the chain of failures, step by step, exactly as Block documented it. Failure 1, the board configuration. ColdCard's production firmware is built on MicroPython, and the board configuration headers define a macro called MicroPy_HW_enable_RNG, set to 0. The comment in the code says, quote, "We have our own version of this code," end quote. And that was true. ColdCard provided its own hardware RNG wrapper, exposed to Python as ckcc.rng_bytes, which reads the STM32 RNG peripheral properly, with failure checks on timeout and repeated samples. So far, fine. Failure 2. The library checks the macro wrong. ColdCard's crypto library, libngu, needs a hardware entropy source. It selects it with a preprocessor check, //if_not_defined_micropy_hw_enable_rng raise an error saying, quote, get a hardware TRNG please, end quote. But here's the flaw. //not_defined only checks whether the macro exists, not what its value is. The macro exists, its value is zero, meaning disabled, but the check passes anyway because the macro is defined. This is a classic C preprocessor footgun. One character of difference between //ifdef and //unif, between existence and truth. The build succeeds and libngu binds to MicroPython's rng_get function, believing it to be a hardware random source. Failure 3. MicroPython's rng_get, with the macro set to zero, is not hardware at all. It is a software pseudo-random generator called Yasmerang, a lightweight generator designed for games and simulations, not cryptography, and it is seeded, once, from values that are essentially device metadata and timing, the chip's unique ID, which is fixed manufacturing data, the SysTick timer, a millisecond counter with only about 80 to 120,000 possible values, and the real-time clock registers, which on the older devices are often completely static at boot. Once those inputs are known or constrained, every output of the generator is determined forever. No new entropy is ever collected. Failure 4. libngu XORs this fallback stream with a second Yasmerang generator initialized with public constants hard-coded in the source, the literal values 0x0a8ce26f69 and 233. XORing two predictable streams does not create entropy, it creates a predictable stream. Failure 5. The health check that should have caught this doesn't. The firmware checks whether adjacent RNG outputs repeat to detect a stuck generator, but a deterministic generator produces different adjacent values every time it sails through the check. Statistically random-looking output, cryptographically worthless output. And failure 6, the one that made it permanent, in March 2021, commit B18723DD changed wallet seed generation from the safe path, which called the genuine hardware RNG wrapper directly, to the generic path ngu.random.bytes, which silently routes into the fallback we just described. That change shipped in firmware v4.0.0 on March 17, 2021. From that day forward, seeds generated on affected firmware were not what users believed they were. Now, the impact differs by device generation, and this is crucial for understanding your own exposure. For the MK2 and MK3 running firmware v4.0.0 through v4.1.9, there is no cryptographic entropy in wallet generation at all. For a known chip UID, timer state, and call history, wallet generation is fully deterministic. Best case for the victim, if the UID is unknown to the attacker, the search space is bounded by about 2 to the 32, and realistically far less. For the MK4, the Q, and the MK5, the situation is better but still broken. Those devices do read genuine entropy from their secure elements at boot. But, and this is almost unbelievable, the firmware takes 32 bytes from the first secure element and 8 bytes from the second, hashes them together, and then retains only 4 bytes, 32 bits, and passes those 4 bytes to a reseed function that overwrites just one of the Yasmerang state words. The other state words keep their deterministic values, so even with genuine secure element entropy flowing into the device, the number of distinct output streams is at most 2 to the 32, about 4 billion possibilities. Block estimates an average of 2 to the 31 candidate trials to crack a wallet. On modern hardware, that is hours to days, not centuries, and the subsequent hashing of the seed cannot help. Hashing 32 bits of entropy gives you 32 bits of entropy in a different outfit. You cannot hash your way to more randomness. One more terrifying detail, the chip UID, one of the main fallback inputs, is partly transformed into the cold card's USB serial number. Device metadata, potentially observable, feeding directly into the seed of your wallet. And the bug doesn't only affect the main wallet seed. Block enumerated the blast radius, paper wallet private keys, which are even more directly exposed because the RNG output is used raw as the private key with no BIP39 step, random seed XOR masks, cloning and USB encryption session keys, key teleport transfers, Web 2FA secrets, generated secure notes passwords, HSM material. Every one of these features drinks from the same poisoned stream. The dice roll option, where the user supplies entropy physically, bypasses the broken path, which is why some seeds generated with heavy dice usage are safer. A strong BIP39 passphrase also adds real protection, but the default flow, the one most users followed, trusted the device's randomness, and that trust was misplaced. Part 3. How did this happen? The technical failure is clear, but the organizational story is stranger, and it was laid out in a detailed timeline by Zach Herbert, the CEO of Foundation Devices, maker of the competing Passport wallet. Now, full disclosure, Herbert is a competitor of CoinKite, so weigh that, but his timeline is built entirely on public records, commits, release notes, and tweets, and it is damning. The story begins on July 28, 2020, when Foundation Devices announced the first Passport wallet, built openly on ColdCard's firmware, which at the time was licensed under the GPLv3, the strong copyleft free software license. 2 days later, on July 30, 2020, NVK, CoinKite's founder, posted a now-famous tweet, quote, "I really regret choosing GPV3 for ColdCard. Now we've a clone if it ships, with zero contributions in code or financially. Our fault for choosing GPL. We will be changing a lot of that with future updates," end quote. And they did. In November 2020, ColdCard moved to an MIT plus Commons Clause license, the Commons Clause being a rider that prohibits commercial products substantially derived from the code, a license the open source community pointedly does not consider open source. But there was a problem. ColdCard's firmware still contained cryptographic code derived from Trezor's libraries, which were GPLv3. You cannot relicense someone else's GPL code. To escape the GPL, you have to remove it. All of it. So, on March 1, 2021, came the commit at the center of this whole disaster. A massive 120-file rewrite titled, quote, "First pass with libngu," end quote. It ripped out the Trezor-derived GPLv3 crypto libraries and replaced them with CoinKite's own libngu, released under a custom, quote, "licensed for Bitcoin only," end quote, license. And inside that same rewrite, the seed generation path was changed from the direct hardware RNG call to the generic ngu.random.bytes path, the one that silently binds to the software fallback. Firmware vs. number 4.0.0 shipped on March 17, 2021, proudly announcing that all the crypto and BIP39 code had been replaced and the last remaining GPL code removed. Read that again. The bug was collateral damage of a license war, a rewrite undertaken in large part to stop competitors from cloning the firmware, carried out at high speed, touching the most safety-critical code in the entire device, the entropy path, and it shipped with a flaw that a single targeted audit would have caught. The random number generator was not random, and then it sat there in production firmware for 5 years and 4 months while users generated seeds, funded addresses, and went to sleep believing their cold storage was cold. To be fair to CoinKite, the rewrite had legitimate technical goals too, moving to Bitcoin Core's libsecp256k1, faster cryptography, reproducible builds, and the genuine hardware RNG wrapper existed and was used elsewhere in the codebase, which is part of why the flaw was so invisible. Some paths were safe, some were catastrophic, and the difference was invisible to users and apparently to reviewers. The health checks passed, the output looked random, the devices worked, wallets generated, signed, verified, everything functioned, it just wasn't secure. That is the most dangerous class of bug in all of security engineering. The system works perfectly while failing completely. There is also a hard lesson here about what happened next in the ecosystem. Kevin Loach, a respected Bitcoin security figure, cautioned in the early hours that we didn't yet know whether the flaw was in seed generation or deeper in the cryptographic layer, noting that if signatures leak the private key, rolling dice may not save you either. That turned out to be wrong in the specifics. The flaw was in seed generation, but the instinct was right. Verify the mechanism before prescribing the mitigation. In the first 24 hours of a crisis like this, the information environment is chaos. Scammers were already circling, posting fake recovery services. The rule, as always, trust only official channels, the CoinKite blog, the block report, and never, ever enter your seed anywhere because someone in your DMs offered to help. Part 4. What you must do now. This is the actionable part, so if you or anyone you know has ever touched a cold card, listen carefully. First, figure out your exposure. The key question is not which device you own today and not when you bought it. The key question is, on which device, running which firmware, was your seed originally generated? Upgrading firmware does not repair an existing seed, and downgrading does not weaken one. The vulnerability is baked into the seed at the moment of creation, forever. The affected configurations, Mark II or Mark III, that generated a seed on firmware V4 0.0 through V4.1.9, fully vulnerable, no cryptographic entropy. Mark IV, Q, or Mark V generating on production firmware, limited to 32 bits of effective entropy, vulnerable to a motivated attacker with resources. Mark I and Mark II or Mark III seeds generated on firmware through V3.22, not affected by this regression. And critically, if you exported a seed from a vulnerable device and imported it into a different wallet, a different brand, a software wallet, anything, that seed is still vulnerable. The weakness travels with the seed, not the device. Second, the mitigating factors. If you generated your seed with substantial dice rolls, using Cold Card's documented dice feature, your entropy came from the dice, not the broken RNG, and you are in much better shape. If you use a strong BIP39 passphrase, the passphrase adds its own entropy on top of the weak seed, and cracking becomes vastly harder. And if your funds are in a multi-sig arrangement where the other keys were generated on secure devices, a single weak key does not compromise the quorum. Block's report is explicit on this point. A multi-sig made up exclusively of vulnerable devices is still vulnerable. You need a quorum of secure devices. Third, if you are affected or uncertain, migrate. Generate a brand new seed using a method you trust, a current device on verified fixed firmware, or better, physical dice rolls done properly, or a device from a different vendor with independent entropy. Then move every UTXO controlled by the old seed to addresses under the new seed, carefully, in an air-gapped flow, following CoinKite's official advisory for the exact procedure. Do it deliberately, not panicked. Do not sweep to an address you generated in a hurry on an internet-connected machine. Do not enter the old seed anywhere new, and be aware the attacker already has or can compute the keys for weak seeds. So this is a race, but a race you can still win for funds that haven't moved, because the attacker is working through a large candidate set, and not every seed falls at the same speed. Fourth, the psychological note, and it matters. If you lost funds in this, it was not because you were careless. Cold card users are, as a group, among the most security-conscious people in Bitcoin. They bought the AirGap device, they verified the firmware, they did everything the community told them to do. The failure was upstream, in a commit they could not have seen, in a macro check one character wide. Stefan Lavera put the mitigation plainly, and Block, CoinKite, and independent researchers all converged on the same advice. Check your seed's provenance and migrate if in doubt. Part 5, the lessons, because this cannot just be a story about one company's bug. Lesson 1, entropy is the whole ballgame. Every hardware wallet security model, every air gap, every secure element, every anti-tamper mesh ultimately rests on the assumption that the seed is unpredictable. That assumption deserves continuous adversarial verification, not a one-time review. Lesson 2, big rewrites of safety-critical code are where catastrophic bugs live. The license-driven rewrite of 2021 was reviewed for what it was trying to do, but not, apparently, for what it accidentally did. Security code does not care about your intentions. Lesson 3, licensing decisions have security externalities. The GPL escape rewrite was a business decision with a security blast radius that took 5 years to detonate. Lesson 4. Defense in depth saved some users. Dice entropy, passphrases, multisig, these were the difference between a bad day and a ruinous one for people who used them. The community's long-standing advice to not trust any single device or single entropy source was vindicated in the worst possible way. And lesson 5, the response, this time, was how it should work. Within hours of the on-chain detection, Blox engineers, anonymous independent researchers, and CoinKite were disclosing to each other, cross-checking and publishing in the open, with CoinKite promising its own definitive report. Compare that to the cover-ups we have seen in other industries. Bitcoin's security culture, adversarial, public, allergic to secrecy, worked. 600 Bitcoin are gone, and for the people who lost them, no post-mortem brings them back. But the full anatomy of the failure is now public, down to the commit hashes and the pre-processor directives, and every hardware wallet maker on Earth is this week re-auditing their entropy path. That is the only silver lining there is. If you take one action from this episode, check where your seeds were born, all of them, today. Sources for this episode: the Block Engineering blog report, predictable RNG fallback and 32-bit reseed in cold card firmware, Cohen Kalit's official MK3 advisory and technical backgrounder, on-chain analysis by Rob Hamilton, summaries by Crypti, the timeline by Zach Herbert of Foundation, the cautionary notes from Kevin Loeck, and the user warning from Stefan Livera. Thanks for listening and stay safe out there.